All right, Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2. We looked at chapter 1 last week. We talked about a tough faith. He went before the Lord with a problem, and the Lord came with an answer. He goes before the Lord again with a second problem, and in chapter 2, he's waiting for the Lord's answer. That's why he says, I will stand my watch. I will set myself on the rampart. And I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. So last week, we talked about a tough faith. And it is a tough faith that will sustain you when life is hard, and it will get hard. Habakkuk was troubled by God's response to the evil that was taking place on the streets. He thought God was way too slow in his response in punishing evil. God should have punished them a long time ago. And when God told Habakkuk what he was up to, that he was raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and he would use them to punish his people, that just caused him to get more upset, because he told God in chapter 1 and verse 12, Your eyes are too pure. You're too holy. You can't work with an ungodly group like the Chaldeans. And besides that, they're worse than we are. And if you're going to punish somebody, then punish them first. So he's upset. You see, an easy faith will crumble when life is hard. And that's why you need a tough faith. A faith that lives without affliction, difficulty, will not survive, because life is full of problems, right? Life is a series of problems that come our way. And if you're looking for an affliction-free life, you won't find it in Christianity. So we need a faith that will sustain us when life gets hard. And sometimes, you know, faith doesn't make sense, right? God comes to Abram. Abram, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and I want you to offer him on one of the mountains that I will show you. Right? Now, you have to think about Abraham for a moment. His whole future is tied up in that boy. All of the promises of God are tied up in Isaac. If Isaac goes, the promises goes. And so what God's asking is a very hard thing, and you have to admit, it really doesn't make sense why God, after all this time, finally giving him a son and now telling him to offer that son up. It just didn't make sense to Abraham, but he was faithful and he did it. And so today we're going to talk about how long faith. And this will make sense. Maybe just the wording doesn't make sense. How long faith? What is that? Right? Well, you see these words uttered in the Bible numerous times and in many places. How long? How long? You've asked how long? Sometimes we ask, how long will this marriage be like this? How long before the cancer is gone? How long before my child finally obeys the gospel, or my child finally straightens out? How long will this pain last? How long? How long? How long? You see, how long faith lives between how things are and how things will be. They're not always going to be this way. They're going to get better, and we need to know that. And so there's that tension, how things are, the circumstances, and how things will be when God works all out for His glory. And so you see this, you know, a lot in the book of Revelation. How long? So that's a question many of us asked, and that's why we're asking, how long faith? How long will your faith hold up? That's the how long. How long? And I think that some preachers are guilty of giving their church members a faith crisis, I guess I would call it. What do you mean by that? I mean, people say things all the time. You see, especially on TV and the religious world. You know, if you'll do this, God will do this. Write that check and God will do this. And over and over and over and over again, they make all these promises that God will do. And it's not a promise that God ever made. But the preacher's telling them, if you'll do this, God will show up in this way. And God doesn't show up. What happens? They have a faith crisis. Because they were told God would show up and take all this away. Well, sometimes it doesn't go away. Sometimes the cancer doesn't leave. Sometimes the marriage is not healed. Sometimes the pain just simply doesn't go away. And so Habakkuk is, he's waiting on God. God, I want to hear from you. I want to hear what you have to say. Well, how long faith? All right, three things today. Number one, how long faith? It doesn't interpret silence as absence. Just because God is silent doesn't mean God isn't present. And that's important. Do you ever feel like God is nowhere to be found? You ever feel like God isn't hearing your prayers? For Habakkuk, silence didn't mean that God wasn't near. He believed that God was near. A tough faith says, this is what a tough faith said. Even though I don't feel His presence, I know that God is going to come through on my behalf. You see, I'm going to believe the best in God no matter what. No matter what my circumstances are, I know God's character, and therefore I'm going to believe the best in God. Remember last week how we talked about a tough faith lives between how things are and who God is, right? How things are and who God is. So His character comes into play here. And we know His character is vital. God will never do anything that is wrong, immoral, ungodly, that will hurt us. He will never do those things. And we know that. And so His character helps us. And I told you last week, what is it about God's character that you can put your full weight on? You know? And I pointed out, there's two things that I really trust is His love. Right? I know He'll always do what's in my best interest. Always. Always. I mean, love sent His Son. I trust His love. And secondly, His wisdom. I know that God is smarter than I am, and I know that God is able to work this out. And I just trust that. Now, do I want to know what's going on? Yes. Yes. But sometimes I don't, and I just have to trust. And I trust His love. I trust His wisdom. And that helps me because I can put my full weight on that. I can put my full weight on that. What do you put your full weight down on? See, I'm going to believe in the best of God no matter how my life is. My life might stink right now, but I'm still going to believe the best in God. Why? Because of His character. Because I know who God is. He's a good God. He's a righteous God. He's a faithful God. He's a God who gave His one and only Son. And so a tough faith lives between how things are and how things will be. You see, one day the fog is going to lift and you're going to be able to see what God has been up to. You're going to know why this happened in your life, whatever that is. And all of us experience all kinds of things. And we wonder, God, what's your plan here? What are you doing? Because what's going on right now doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Well, just know, one day the fog will lift and you'll see what God has done. How many times have you said something like that? Now I know what God was up to. Now I know why that happened in my life. Right? We have those moments. The fog lifts. But number two, how long faith is certain of God's ultimate triumph over evil? Now, all the way through chapter 2, he is celebrating the death of evil on the streets. that comes in five woes. Gives a woe in verse 6. Those who steal. He gives a woe in verse 9. Those who are covetous. He gives a woe in verse 12. Those who shed blood. He gives a woe in verse 15. Those who get drunk. And then he gives a woe in verse 19. Those who worship idols and bow to idols. And so God is going to punish the evil on the street that Habakkuk's been wanting God to punish all along. That time has come. God's judgment has come. You see, tough faith waits on God. And he had a tough faith. And that's why he says in verse 1 of chapter 2, I will stand my watch, set my feet on the rampart, and watch to see what he will say to me. And notice, and what I will answer when I'm corrected. And so, a tough faith waits on God. A tough faith knows that God is going to triumph over evil, all evil. You see, God will judge Judah and God will judge Babylon for all of their evil. None of these people are going to get away with the evil that they are doing. Listen, if you want an easy life and you want the pressure to get off of you, here's what you do. Just compromise. Compromise your faith. That's all you have to do. Give in. Become like the world around you. And when you do that, it's not going to be so difficult. At least the pressures that you're experiencing because you belong to God. But we're told not to compromise. We're told to stand strong. You know, throughout the Bible, God had an ancient enemy, and this enemy was known as Babylon. Babylon. And in the New Testament, the enemy of God's people is Rome. It's the main enemy. The religious leaders are enemies of God's people. But Rome is an enemy of God's people. And many of God's people are being thrown in prison. They're being persecuted. They are being killed. And so what John does, he attaches to Babylon, Rome. And so Rome is the new Babylon. Rome is the enemy, also known as Babylon. And so Babylon is this enemy all throughout the Old Testament. This is the ancient enemy of God's people. And the message of Revelation is simple. Don't compromise. Don't sell out. Stay faithful. That's the message of the book of Revelation. An easy faith sells out. A tough faith hangs on. What kind of faith do you have? Is it a tough faith or is it an easy faith? Number three today. How long faith rests in the quiet confidence of the sovereignty of God. You see, nothing on the streets changes what God is doing. Nothing. God is holy. God is good. God is righteous. And God will judge. And nothing that's going on down there will interfere with what God is doing. In chapter 2, verse 20. It's a song we sang just a few moments ago. And I don't know that we properly understand this. Because what exactly is this? We think it's a call for reverence, right? It's a call for reverence. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. What it is it's a call for confidence. It's a call for confidence. We have confidence in our God who will judge all evil and all wrongdoing. We have to have that confidence in God, that He is in His holy temple, that He is on the throne, that He is sovereign, that He does rule. He's in charge. Man is not. And so when you think about the church as we're gathered like this, the church is full of people who are between a rock and a hard place. And if that's you, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to wait on God? Are you going to trust Him? Because Habakkuk says, I will stand my watch and I will set myself on the rampart. And I know the Lord is in His holy temple. And I know He's on the throne. And I know He rules. And I know He's in charge. And I know that He can take care of things that are going on in my life. What kind of faith do you have? Will it hold out? Is it tough? Will it hold up to the end? And so today, as we think about a how long faith, it doesn't interpret silence as absence, and that's important. It is certain of God's triumph over evil, no question about it. Read the book of Revelation, especially chapter 19 and 20. It rests in the quiet confidence of the sovereignty of God. So do you have a faith that trusts in God no matter what? No matter how hard life becomes, no matter how difficult it is for you, do you continue to trust? I hope you will. I hope you will, because God always comes through on behalf of His people. And when we see this book come to a conclusion in Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22, it all pans out, right? The righteous are with God forever, and it's wonderful. Whereas the wicked, those who didn't trust God, they're banished from Him for eternity. And so this morning, what kind of faith do you have? Are you struggling in your faith? Do you need the prayers of God's people? Do you need encouragement? This is a time for you to get the help that you need. Sometimes I think we don't take advantage of this moment. This is a moment when a person can get right with God. This is a moment when a person can rededicate their life to Christ. And this is a moment when people can get real help when they're struggling in life and they don't have the answers they're looking for. Well, God has them, and we would love to pray with you. So whatever your need is, make it known together as we stand and sing.